Welcome to Spiritual Warfare and How the Enemy is Collecting Souls.
The enemy has taken a seat at my table and I was allowing myself to listen to a killer.
Hi, my name is Teresa.
And hi, my name is Kay.
We will be reading from the book Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table by Lou Giglio. Kay is going to start us out. And the heading is Fishing Lessons.
Whoa. Okay, so sin can look good at first, helpful even. We're apt to believe that the tempting thoughts in our minds are a solution to the pressures we face. But watch out. We know from Ezekiel 28:12-17 that Satan was originally a high-ranking angel who rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. Isaiah 14:12 describes how Satan was cast out of heaven like a star falling to the ground. Your foe is somebody to take seriously, and his nature is deceptive and misleading. Genesis 3:1 describes the evil one as more crafty than any other created thing. This means he's cunning, deceitful, fraudulent. He runs the spiritual equivalent of a shell game, showing you where the little ball is hidden at first, then slip sliding cups around so that you always come up losing.
There has actually been divorces over gambling.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's, yeah, thinking, okay, you know what? Well, yeah.
He'll let you win.
Yeah.
Just like the little ball. He'll let you win.
Uh-huh. And give you a little taste of it.
Give you a little taste of winning and how that makes you feel. And then you lose the house.
The devil never rolls up through the front door of your life announcing he's going to destroy you. He doesn't show you a picture of yourself 18 months from now living alone in a rented room because you've lost your most trusted relationship.
That's exactly what he does.
He doesn't direct your attention to a PowerPoint presentation of clear step-by-step plans on how he's going to bring you to your destruction. Instead, he slips through the side door. He lures and entices you. It's like fishing. You never hop into your boat, row out into the middle of the lake, whip out a bullhorn. Attention! Hey there, fish. Listen up. I'm going to throw a razor-sharp hook overboard. You need to bite it. I'm going to jerk the line really hard and reel you in and yank out that hook with pliers. The hook has a barb on the end, and your mouth is going to be a mess. I'm going to throw you in a cooler. I'll take you back to shore where I'll scrape your scales off, cut off your insides, and fry you over the fire in a buttered pan. Any questions? Let's go.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how we end up, maybe alone in a rented room. Right? We bit the hook.
If you're not strong enough to see what he's doing, and even if you are strong enough to see what he's doing, you need to get the strength to fight.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we can see what's happening. We're losing our family, our friends, our spouses by gambling an affair. You see it, you know the grass isn't greener on the other side. I don't care. It isn't. But you think, it is.
Right.
And he wants to get you over there. And there's been a lot of people I've spoken with who really regretted that, but they couldn't come back. Mm-hmm. It was done. You better be ready for our finality because that's it. And your spouse or significant other or a family member, when you do something that devastating to somebody and you think later, they'll forgive me. They might forgive you, but they don't have to put up with it anymore or continue.
So that brings to a thought about the speaker I heard Friday night. We have a path to walk about forgiveness. Sometimes to get to the other side of things in life where we are asked to forgive people for things But also there's an impact about things. You may have forgiven someone or something for, but there's the impact part of it that can trigger you as you continue down life. The sinful effects that you know, could have had on you or has had on you. And she talked about where the blood of Jesus Christ has covered our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, he went and paid the price for our sins for us to receive forgiveness. And what she was explaining is that
it doesn't mean you don't have to pay for your sins.
That's right. Doesn't mean that you don't have to pay for your sins. Right?
But you're forgiven.
But you're forgiven.
And right. I've known of somebody who tried to get his wife back. Well, you're a Christian. You need to come back to me. And she's like, no, I don't.
Right.
You were abusive. You had your affair. You left. That's what you wanted to do. I had to forgive you, and I forgive you, but I don't have to let you back into my life anymore. I'm done. Well, he wasn't done. He wanted to come back.
Right.
And kudos to her. I mean, when somebody has an affair, you have a right to get out of the marriage. And sometimes, if both of them are willing and they want to work on it, but there are times where people have been really abused, and to where the woman knows what her husband's doing, but she's stuck because she doesn't have a job. So she has to put up with that behavior and be miserable. And really, it was a blessing in disguise because he left. Then she had to fend for herself. And she became strong and powerful. And he wanted her back after that. Mm-hmm. So that the point there is, yes, we have to forgive. But you don't have to continue down
that same path.
Yes, like, you don't have to if somebody offends you, yes,
to be repeated to you.
Or to be walked on like a rug or a doormat or whatever, wipe your feet like a doormat. Yes, you don't have to do that. We do have to forgive, but you don't have to stay in a situation and continue to let it happen.
Right.
That is correct. That's what I was trying to say.
So, nope. When you go fishing, you get crafty. You check the temperature, the wind speed, the lay of the shadow on the water. You consult other fishermen and pull out your tackle box and see the perfect lure for the lake and type of fish. The hook is never obvious, never scary. Lures are shiny, brightly colored. They spin around. They announce, free lunch. And the really cool thing over here, fisherman wants to mesmerize a fish. He wants to tantalize it. He needs the fish to pursue the dazzling lure, eyes and mouth wide open. The fisherman never advertises the hook. He advertises the reward. His big goal is to get Mr. Largemouth Bass to bite. The devil holds the fishing pole. We have to constantly watch out for the devil's lures. When that temptation or harmful thought comes our way, it's probably not going to look bad, not at first. Initially, it promises something good. Sin offers a solution. Sin guarantees relief. If you're down, sin brings you up. If you're stuck, sin shows you the way out. If you're miserable, sin promises comfort. If you're outraged, sin offers the perfect justice. If you're lonely, sin becomes your best friend.
Okay, when I went to Florida in, I don't know, September or whenever I went, I don't even remember when it was, we walked out on a pier and everybody's fishing. And the saddest thing I saw was this big fish was probably 3 foot long. Beautiful fish, big, colorful. And I saw two people, which I don't, they don't call them rangers, but what do you call those men that work the docks and check your license and stuff like that? Maybe it's a fish ranger. I just some type of a ranger, but I'm like, what's with this fish? It took two people to pick this fish up. He asked some guy to help him. The fish was dead. And he said some idiot caught it, left it here to die for no reason, and left.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was huge. It was, I almost wanted to cry. And and that's what Satan does. He'll hook you. And leave you to die. And that's exactly what that reminded me of.
Wow.
The fish, I know it might sound stupid, but it made me so sad. Oh, yeah. I was looking at it there. I'm glad I didn't see it flip-flopping around, because I'm sure that was probably a 1 or 2 minute thing because it was so big, you right. know. And they just had to throw it back in the water dead.
They couldn't keep it. Must have been there too long. Must have.
Nobody wanted it.
Maybe it wasn't an eatable fish.
Well, they should have thrown it back in, like he said. They killed this fish for no reason.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And just left it there to die. And it was terrible. They took a life. Sorry, but it is. It's a fish life. And they didn't take it to feed themselves. Mm. They just let it die. Mm. Mm. Mm.
Mm. All lies. All that vain goodness. All those false solutions. All the relief. All the comfort. All the justice. All the camaraderie. All those promises are meaningless. Sin is not your pal. And sin is not your buddy. Sin is not on your side. Sin doesn't have your back. Sin is never the magic it claims to be. Sin is a mirage. Always over-promising and under-delivering. The enemy works in your life by luring and lying. He promises things can't be fulfilled. He promises things he can't fulfill. He challenges God's truth. He attacks God's character and intentions. The enemy says things such as, surely God's holding out on you. You can't trust him. He essentially told Eve, if you eat the fruit, your eyes are going to be opened. You're going to be like God. The enemy appeals to your basic human needs. We all have need for acceptance, worth, satisfaction, fulfillment, and happiness. The enemy constantly holds out a lure and offers of lie. Hey, this will satisfy your needs. Take a bite. You deserve to be happy. Mixed with this, the enemy often uses other people to encourage our hasty choices. Sometimes we need to change our circle of friends because they're in the habit of rolling out the red carpet for us when it comes to doing dumb things. Maybe you're in the elevator with the wrong people. Instead of taking you up to God things, they're taking you down to basement of defeat because that's where they're living. Misery loves company. And miserable people have a way of wanting those around them to fail, not succeed. Don't fall for the lies. Don't chase the lure. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table.
Okay, so Kay, that brings me to the people in your life. That is really important, because if you're not a strong person and you're around somebody and you fall or you continue to go and sin, whether it's in a relationship with a unbeliever, which is really, really bad, because, oh, that is just a miserable, miserable thing to overcome, and to have to pay that price is not worth it because it never works out in the end.
Not usually.
Not usually, yes. You're right. Yeah, I don't even go there because, yeah, it's not worth it. But if you're around, I know we all have friends from all different walks of life. And there is nothing wrong with that at all. But if you're falling into bad habits, temptations, or sin, being around certain friends, you need to stop being around them. Not cut, you know, off, because see, we need to be a witness.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Yes, I agree with that.
And yes, so be really careful, because Satan will get you good on that one with your friends. Well, I'm a Christian. I can't like not be their friend. What type of witness is that? You're right.
Absolutely.
But Satan is telling you that. You have to refrain from that type of atmosphere, from those type of things, whatever you can't do that.
Because it is a lie. It is absolutely a lie.
Yes.
And Satan makes you believe that maybe you'll convert that other person.
Yes.
Maybe
when you're falling.
Right. When you're falling. And he takes you down into the depths of the pit.
Lying to you the whole time, saying, no, keep going. You're a witness. You're doing good. When you're falling and he's getting his hooks in on you.
Yeah.
And I mean, it could be a really, really good friend. If you're falling, you can't be in that atmosphere.
Right.
Whatever it is that you're falling for.
Right.
You can't. You need to stop, and your life isn't going to change.
Right.
Until you do that.
Right. Now, I do know, Teresa, that I have some friends, now that I'm older, that married at a younger age and were not believers, because I wasn't a believer in my younger days. And where one became a believer, and then the other one has come behind them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, where God has worked in both of their lives.
Well, that's different because you're in that committed relationship.
Right. Well, and I think of it this way, Teresa. God knows the path for each of us. He really does, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, even in the beginning of some of those relationships, he knew what their path was going to be, and he knew that they were going to become children of God. And he knew exactly how they were going to become children of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to intentionally be a believer and walk with Christ and start a relationship with someone that is not evenly yoked with you is truly asking for your walk to be compromised, because you will compromise your walk.
Absolutely, you will.
I testify to that.
I testify to that too.
Yes.
And it is one of the worst pains to go through.
Yes, it is.
It truly is.
It is.
But see, like also, okay, say that I had a drug problem and I had a group of friends and they invited me over. I'm trying not to do drugs. But if I go over there, and I know that's what they're going to do, I'm going to probably cave because...
Eventually.
Yeah, because of the atmosphere and everybody just laughing, having a grand old time. And that's because if I'm struggling with it, though. If I've had an issue with it.
That's right.
I don't need to be going over there.
Right.
I need to cut that out of my life. I don't need that, and I can't get stronger by going around that. Now, if I have friends like that and I don't have issues, I can go into that atmosphere.
Right.
And it doesn't bother me. Yeah.
Right.
And I can see if God needs me to do something, whatever.
Right.
You know, so, but yes, that's very, very important. Who you hang out with and what you do.
That you know your boundaries.
Yes.
Right.
That you know
your boundaries.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, Kay. So we are going to stop right there. And then I will see you next week. And we will talk about hand-to-hand combat.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. just pray that you have a blessed week and that we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. And we will be talking about, I need to clarify that when a harmful thought or temptation first enters your mind. Have a great week, everyone. Thank you.